Not elitist EPL fans and care about other leagues as well, which deserve their own look back episode.
But EPL the best, yo. Like, we're going to be doing a take later on another episode, right?
Yeah, sure, sure. Welcome to season 2 of the Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
And my name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, and more.
You can also find us on our website, munchamedia.com, or at Munch's Post on all social media.
So, Shreyas, why don't we talk about the rest of the league, starting with La Liga?
Or more like UEFA Lona.
So, talk about La Liga real quick, man.
Yep.
Barcelona won it.
Yeah, and it's still sad.
It was. It just turned out that way. But they actually won it pretty quickly. Not pretty quickly, but with quite a bit of time to go.
No thanks to them.
No thanks to them, because Real wasn't Real. And Atletico, well, they're a wild card, so you never know what they're up for.
Yeah.
And then the season tapered pretty quickly after that.
Yep.
They got knocked out of the semifinal of the Champions League.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
That was heartbreaking. One of the better comebacks I've seen over two legs.
That was miraculous, bro. Better.
Liverpool killed them. And even though Messi scored that beautiful free kick in the first leg, man.
Goal of the tournament for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, might come close for me too.
Yeah.
And so they got knocked out of the Champions League and then kept not doing too well in the remaining La Liga games.
Right.
And then capped it tremendously. This
capped it tremendously.
This super failure in the Copa del Rey.
Yeah, losing to Valencia.
Losing to Valencia. And This is the first time I felt that a team's actually won the league.
And still, and it seems like they got a failure.
Yeah, it seems like a failure. It seems like they got beaten up.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Messi then.
Why?
Just because, dude, he just feels like he takes a beating all the time, man. And then we went and saw, well, the day we recorded, Argentina played their Copa America match with Brazil.
Right.
And lost 2-0 there. So he got knocked out of the Copa America too. You know what? We'll talk about that later in our take.
Okay.
But I feel bad for Messi. I feel bad for Barcelona. I don't know what's going to happen now. They had problems with Coutinho.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about Neymar might be coming in.
Yeah, what about Griezmann?
Griezmann might be coming in too. So I guess that helps, soothes everything over, at least at club level.
Yeah.
Their manager, I was very surprised to find out, is one of the highest paid managers in football.
Yeah, same.
Why?
Exactly. I mean, we all know Barca's loaded and they can, you know, pay whatever they want and, you know, stuff happens. But I don't know, it's almost like, you know, they've got a lot of senior players and we've got our Rakitic's, our Suarez's, and, you know, they have to be replaced. Yeah, Messi continues to evolve every season. So, you know, good stuff. But I think everything else around in that team, it does take a lot, you know, to get things right. And I think it also takes a lot to manage egos, because apparently this whole Griezmann thing is taking time, and he was supposed to join them last season and that didn't happen. And now I think it's being delayed because the players are against him. So if a manager says like, no, we really need him, and he fits our plan or he fits, you know, everything else, but the, you know, just to manage egos and stuff, I think that's where the manager has to get paid that kind of money. And, you know, despite winning the league so easily, it's still a disappointment. So that's almost like a thankless job.
He did pull a dick move last season, dude.
I mean,
the whole movie and production and Gerard Piqué's production company involved with it, and he's like, yeah, I'm not coming. I mean, that's I can understand the player hesitation there,
right?
But in terms of fit as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's what, a lifelike replacement for Suarez. What
he
else
is, yeah.
He doesn't fit in anywhere else. He's a striker.
Right.
Does he play wing? Can he play wing? I don't even know.
I mean, yeah, we have seen him sort of play as a support striker, and I think just the way he is, like, he's a small little dude and very quick on his feet. And yeah, he's a lefty. And yeah, I'm sure they can try him out wide left or wide forward or whatever.
But Coutinho couldn't do it. So I doubt he'll be able to do it, as well as maybe what Dembele is doing right now, or Neymar would if he comes in.
Or Dembele is busy playing Fortnite or whatever, PUBG.
Okay.
But no, I remember you telling me about how the fans were so harsh on Coutinho. Like, when like he's, like, someone's passing the ball to Coutinho and it gets intercepted and they're booing Coutinho. Like, Coutinho has nothing to do there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I think, you know, Coutinho is a different kind of player. And I think, you know, he expected, like, just, I think what he was enjoying at Liverpool and being like the main guy, despite having Mane's and Salah's all over, he was still running the show alone. And I think he sort of thought that he'll fit into a similar sort of project here, and that didn't happen. And despite like Dembele being, you know, for lack of a better word, a dick, not the ideal, you know.
He's a kid, man. He's not the football. Let him play Fortnite, I mean, and football.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? He doesn't play, he doesn't turn up to training.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it sucks that, you know, for like in the same position, you've got a Dembele who's your competition, and the guy doesn't make it to training on time, and he's got a bad attitude. And yes, you know, talent is talent, and you know, nothing surpasses that, but a good attitude can take you so much more further. And he still found it hard to compete in that team, and with a manager like Belvedere as to not be able to manage that. Yeah, so that's why I think like the whole season seems like a failure. But what happens to these guys? I mean, does Coutinho want to come back? We've seen some random rumors about, you know, he might want to come back to Liverpool, and close to 100 million, I'm sure they can afford it.
He doesn't fit in Liverpool anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
Let bygones be bygones.
Are you going to make Sané sit down? Are you mad?
No, maybe he'll fit into a deeper role.
Mane, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, Sané is going to Munich, isn't he not?
Doesn't seem like it. We'll talk about that later too. But yeah. I mean, Coutinho doesn't fit. Coutinho also didn't fit too well in Barcelona.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been hounded during this Copa America, but he keeps saying that I'm concentrating on the tournament.
Yeah.
Which is fair, man. Like, it's a new league. It's one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Yeah.
I guess a season is long time to sort of fit in, but if you haven't, then it's fine. I mean, I feel like he deserves another season. We all know he's a great player, right?
Yes, for sure.
So coming back to Griezmann, like, that guy seems like according to me, it's Barcelona's way of managing an aging Suarez problem.
Yes,
not
for sure.
This season, but like maybe the next two or three seasons, right? Suarez is still at the top of the game.
Yes.
And it's Barcelona, like, having competitive players in all positions to sort of fight with each other is natural. So I feel like Barcelona's fine in terms of Messi specifically. His overall footballing career is sort of tapering, just like Barcelona season kind of tapered. So I don't want that to happen again. We'll talk about that in the take.
Yeah.
But the other big sort of point to address with La Liga was Real's performance last season, right?
Yeah.
They ended up cycling through technically two coaches, I want to say.
Technically two, yes.
Because one of them didn't see the
light of day.
And then they had the second one, who was basically, who followed the same trajectory as Zidane, their
sort of
Castilla side coach, and then just coming up through the ranks and then becoming coach.
Right.
Couldn't do too well. Ronaldo had also left, right? Yeah. That's a big, big sort of
hole to fill.
And then also a big adjustment to make within the team as well, because the entire team is also so reliant on someone like Ronaldo.
Right.
I feel like Vinicius Jr. did a decent enough job.
For sure.
Better than I expected, honestly.
Of course.
Who did worse than I expected? Gareth Bale.
Because he's injured half the time.
Well, is that the manager's fault? Is that Real's fault? It's not like they're overplaying him when he's getting injured. I mean,
yeah, I remember we spoke about this earlier also. Like, the other team members complain that the guy doesn't even know Spanish properly. Like, so how do you like converse with him? How do you like, you know, gel with him? And I'm sure like team, you know, like dressing room dynamics is like a big deal when it comes to like, you know, clubs and just managing egos and like managing sort of teamwork and team spirit and stuff. And Bale just for some reason has always seemed out of sorts when it comes to Real Madrid. I mean, minus his bicycle goals in the final and stuff. But
I think his first season was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he had that crazy goal against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey.
Where he just ran
like around Bartra. His overall first season was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
He was a good addition to that team, right? He took that team forward. But over the past few seasons, it's either he's held them back or they're at the same level, which is not the sort of value you expect from a player of his caliber.
Right.
Especially in a team like Real Madrid. So I don't know where that leaves. It's pretty evident from all the news that we've heard that Zidane's not a fan.
Yeah, and I think that's taken a toll on him, right? Because Zidane was there for 3 years previously.
Right. And Zidane actually ended up saying that the last game of the season that Madrid played.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the squad.
He wasn't in the squad, and he said that, or something along the lines of, I wouldn't even have subbed him in if he was on my bench,
ouch,
regardless of whether we're winning or losing.
Whoa.
So can't get clearer than that, that you don't want Bale in your team.
Right.
And then with all these new players coming in, and it's clear Bale doesn't have a spot there. These guys have spent upwards of $300 million already, which is ludicrous, dude.
I don't think so. They're stopping.
They're not going to stop. We spoke about this in our last episode as well. According to FFP, they're clear to spend
another $100 million.
Yeah, on one marquee signing. So they've been running after the Pogbas of the world and stuff like that too. Yeah. So it's clear, it's pretty evident that Bale's not part of the plans, which actually makes me a little anxious because we haven't heard too much about Bale moving to another club.
Right.
Presumably because they'll be demanding a lot of money. Yes. We've heard rumblings about some sort of
swap.
Player plus cash swap. Whenever that comes up, Bale's always in the mix. So I don't know. I just hope for the sake of his own career and just forward movement in general, man, he needs to leave that club. I think both parties understand that, but Real being Real, they're going to extract as much as they can from
his
perceived market value.
Yeah.
So that being said, even though we see like an uptake in terms of Barcelona's incoming players and morale and all that, they're still league champions, which is no joke, right?
Right.
Regardless of how the other teams fared, Real's sort of beefed up. Atletico, like again, is always a wild card in these situations. Have they signed Joao Felix yet? I feel like it's
pretty much done. But Torres retired, dude. Like, what are they going to do without Torres?
Oh my God, no Torres.
And Morata, like, how dare you forget him?
How about Griezmann leaving? How about that? Griezmann might leave. So Joao Felix is only the positive blip there. But I don't know, man. Simeone is a magic man when it comes to these situations.
Yeah, he also lost Hernandez to Munich.
Hernandez to Munich. Godin has gone to Inter.
Yeah, Diego Godin is gone, yeah.
So that's a big sort of wipeout from their team. But Simeone has ways to figure out, if not to outscore his opponents, then to out-defend his opponents.
But what are his, like, season objectives or, like, targets? Like challenge for first place, but second's okay, get to the knockouts of the Champions League, get to the Copa del Rey final. Like, how does that boardroom discussion go with the owners of, like, Atletico Madrid? Like, I don't understand, because apparently they've got shitloads of money to spend. They've spent the buyer clause on Joao Felix. He's 19 years old. That's 100 plus million. Apparently Diego Simeone is one of the highest paid managers in the world. So I don't really understand what Atletico is up to. Like, they just got a new stadium a few seasons ago and, yeah, so apparently the money's there. So why are they not competing for first place? Why are they not in the finals of the Champions League? And yes, they were there. I think Madrid beat them twice out of their four Champions League wins in the last 5 years.
So, I don't know. I have no answer to that, honestly. And it's literally like, you know, they're not even in... They're in a league. It's called La Liga.
Yeah.
But the top two teams are the top two teams of the world.
Right.
It's not like it's a Serie A or a EPL even, where it's a City or United. It's literally Real and Barcelona. So for you to realistically be, especially after the season they've had in terms of the transfers going out, for them to have the mindset of let's compete for number one next season, I feel like that's
a bit much.
A lot. That's not too even ambitious. That's too ambitious. On the other hand, they're spending money on Joao Felix, for example, now. Joao Felix, just putting aside the transfer value, is a long-term signing.
Yes.
Like that kid under Simeone could become lethal, literally very lethal. So maybe they're keeping that in mind, fighting for the top three so that they get the Champions League money next season as well. So, and then taking it from there, I guess that's the objective. Stay in the top two, top three, be competitive in Europe, go as far as you can, and then maybe do this whole rebuilding, which takes a season or two seasons. So maybe that's their end agenda, which kind of makes sense. It's just, I never thought they would be the club to trigger Felix's release clause. Apparently, Ronaldo had a lot to do with it.
Really?
In terms of Real Madrid to Atletico Chile.
Oh my God, that's insane.
That's what I've heard, but I don't know.
But considering like the forwards that we've seen from Atletico Madrid, starting from Forlan, Falcao, Aguero, he should be in good hands. So
definitely, dude. Like, definitely. I mean, there's... Atletico has been a factory of world-class forwards, right?
Yeah.
Especially Simeone. Let's give him that respect there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty interesting. I feel like it's going to be a two-horse race. Again, wild card, so they might just throw wrenches into plans here and there.
Right.
But I feel like overall it should be a two-horse race within La Liga.
Right.
Copa, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know. I guess Copa's kind of open-ended.
Right.
But Champions League. Then again, Champions League, I think just Zizou being Zizou, man, he'll figure something out.
Yeah.
It's not like he's starting the season fresh. Yeah. He actually came in at the end of the season, so he got sort of that going. So preseason, they literally started as soon as the transfer market opened, they just started getting these transfers in. So they're not waiting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be pretty, pretty exciting to watch La Liga next season.
Right.
Especially if Neymar and Griezmann do come in.
Yeah.
Frenkie de Jong is a wonderful player. So.
Holy shit, we forgot about Frenkie.
No, we did mention it. Don't worry. Okay. But yeah. Yeah, Frenkie de Jong's crazy. So that's why Barcelona is in good hands, seems like it.
Yeah.
Real Madrid is in good hands. We know it. Yes. And they have the money to back it as well.
Right.
And again, Atletico's wild cards.
Dark horse thing.
Dark horse. So yeah, they do what they do. So that's pretty much what we can look forward to with La Liga. Jumping real quick to the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw Bayern holding through and capturing that title. Dortmund actually mounted a pretty serious comeback by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, Pulisic was injured most of the time. But yeah, towards the end, he did his thing. And yeah, it went on to the last day. But Bayern just ended up killing everyone. They won like some 5-0 or something.
Yeah, and they actually had a pretty strong last month. Which they finished it off pretty well.
Yeah.
And they also ended up just securing the domestic double, which is great. One sad thing which brings us a solitary tear to my eye.
Yeah.
No more Ribery and Robin.
Oh, man. Legacy.
Yeah, man. I just, like, when these guys were just not injured and fully fit, my favorite wing combination to watch, honestly. Just...
Totally, man. Yeah, these guys were pretty cool to watch. And considering... Like both Robin and Ribery, they had, like, they were just entering their peaks, you know, at other clubs. And they still just continued and just matured and just became all that more better. I don't know if it was about, you know, Pep doing his thing at the Bundesliga with Munich and maybe these guys just, you know, took on so much from there and just continued. But yeah, to see them do their thing at that age, for example, like Robin is just this almost like a cheat code that you press in FIFA, like run down the wing, cut true. In on your left and just like pop it in there.
Yeah.
And you know, like the
defender. Press R1 for the finesse shot.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, the defender knows he's going to cut like that. And you still can't stop it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and for them to be wingers and, you know, grow, and like age like that and still, you know, keep the sort of positive aspects of their game and like still work on that and still be so effective was really cool to see. So for them to leave is really, really sad.
And I actually, you know, the whole foundation to this team that we saw, the whole Mueller, Robin Ribery, Lewandowski and all.
Right.
I actually give more credit to Jep Heynckes than Pep Guardiola.
Because
that those 3 seasons he was there,
he's
made a return to Bayern maybe 3 times now.
Right.
But that second stint he did for 3 years where they capped it with the Champions League win.
Yeah.
I feel like that actually set these guys up. Plus a Guardiola coming in after that is
just
only going to help you more and more.
Yeah.
But these guys are gone. Niko Kovac seemed like he was in trouble in terms of his solidifying his position in that club. But it seems like he's safe now.
Yeah.
Mostly because we've seen like these huge signings that they've done, right? They got Pavard in and they got Hernandez in.
Yeah.
Who's the most expensive Bundesliga signing ever. So for a club like Bayern to do something like that, it's like they're taking an initiative to sort of force something in the Champions League, I guess.
Yeah, I think the France national team will look at Bayern and be like, I think you guys are analyzing our national team more than us. So could you give us some tips? Because, and just one like transfer window, they just picked up both the fullbacks. Yeah, but Hernandez is pretty cool. And obviously coming from Atletico Madrid, we can expect big things. And Pavard had goal of the season at the World Cup. So another good signing from Stuttgart, not too expensive. But they're definitely pumping up. And we don't know what they're doing with Sané. They're really going for him.
They're trying, but then it keeps like, oh, we're not interested. Oh, we really want him. Sané's like, oh, I want to go, but then no, I'm safe. So I honestly don't know. Sané plays on the left. They have Kingsley Coman, who I actually really like. So that guy linking up with these fullbacks is also going to be interesting. Again, French connection there too.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty, pretty excited to see what Niko Kovac does. Firstly, it's not like Ribery and Robin were playing all the minutes. They were injured a lot.
Yeah.
So it's not like they terribly missed them.
Yeah.
They figured out a system when both of them aren't playing.
Correct. Yeah, they were some youngsters. They got Serge Gnabry, Coman, Tolisso.
Yeah.
So they got these guys. But what do you do with your favorite forward, Lewandowski? Like, he's pretty old.
He is old, but they're sorted with Bundesliga. I'm not worried there. But he's good, man. He's still good, I guess. It's just that I've always been confused as to why he's
stuck around
with Bayern.
Yeah.
When literally anyone would snap him up in a heartbeat. Imagine True. Lewandowski 3 years ago, Lewandowski at Real.
Yeah.
Imagine that, dude. Like linking up with Ronaldo on the wing, Bale on the wing.
Holy shit.
Screw Benzema. I never give that guy credit, even though he's literally, he's a big reason why they won everything they won.
Right.
But like a striker like that could do wonders in any club. So
yeah, but then I mean same difference with say someone like Falcao who was killing it at Atletico and then went to China, I don't know why. And he went to Monaco and then he just ruined his career after that. Tried United, tried Chelsea, didn't happen, and now no one even remembers Falcao. So
you think switching the club was the reason? Interesting.
No, I just think like you need to go to a more competitive league and not look at, you know, money or not look at anything else. So you know what your role is going to be in the team.
It's exactly my point with Bundesliga to La Liga, right? Like if Real would have bought him.
Right.
There's no doubt in my mind that Perez would have splashed the cash there.
Yeah.
I don't think he has some messed up release clause in his contract or anything like that. Mm. Given what Real tends to spend.
Right.
So it seems like a personal decision to me.
Maybe.
Reason being that he's stuck around. Right. Again, it could be anything, man. We don't know.
Yeah.
95% of the stuff that goes on.
Right.
So I'm just curious to find out why he stayed. It's fine. I respect like loyalty and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He still has it. He still has it for the top level for sure. So yeah. I'm curious to see what these guys do. And even with Dortmund now, like, Pulisic has gone to Chelsea.
Yeah, but they got Hummels back. Yay.
They got Hummels back from Bayern again.
Yeah.
And then Royce, obviously.
And Götze, yeah.
Götze, Royce.
Kagawa.
Those guys are the ultimate loyalists, especially Royce when it comes to a club.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't get injured. And it's exciting to see.
No, the Euro's not come yet. 2020, right? So wait for the Euro's come and then get injured.
International, I feel bad for him.
Very.
So yeah, that's pretty much what we have in store for the Bundesliga. Real quick, we have two things to wrap up with. Let's talk about Serie A. You want to talk about Serie A?
Yeah,
if we want to.
Yeah, that's pretty much Juventus, bro.
Yeah. Killed it as per usual. Thanks, Max. Max Allegri is gone. Yeah. It's okay. No Champions League.
I'm burnout kara diya bechare ka.
Bro, I mean, kya karega? Top job, top level, dude. That's what it takes. Guy's taking a break for a year.
Yeah.
Well deserved break. Five years in a row. Even though they're amazing at Serie A, 5 years in a row.
8 years, right?
Well, five with Max five and three with Conte before right. that. So 8 years in a row for a club, that's no joke. So it can be tiring. Plus, he's getting his domestic doubles here and there.
Right.
And he made two finals in the Champions League.
Right.
That's pretty impressive five-year resume.
Right.
So he's off for a break for 1 year.
Okay.
Napoli came closest, but they were actually still too far.
Yeah.
I feel like Ancelotti took over pretty well.
Yeah.
Introducing his style, trying to mix it with this hangover of Sarri ball that Napoli had.
Right.
And also the team that was picked apart, Sarri left, Jorginho left, Higuain left, right?
Yeah.
So that's three key departures overall in the squad.
And a lot of clubs are after their defenders, man. They've got that Moroccan on who plays left back, right back. His name is El Cid Hayaj, I think. And they've got Kalidou
Koulibaly. Koulibaly is in demand.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Conte has been bidding for him probably since he was Italy manager. Yeah. Yeah. Italian nationality, please. De do.
Koulibaly is excellent, dude. Yeah. He's so good. He's so fast. He's just like big and strong. He's like the ideal center back.
Yeah, but one thing I don't understand is like a lot of these for lack of a better term, black defenders or black players in the Italian league, they always complain about like racism and stuff. Like Rudiger, when he came from Roma to Chelsea, he said, yeah, I hated it there. Balotelli has had a really bad time in Italy.
Awful time.
Yeah, so
he's Italian.
Yeah, so so like what's the deal with like Italian
ultras, dude?
Really? Is it that bad? But
pretty hardcore, yeah.
That's
pretty hardcore. It's actually really messed up because I feel like in terms of these top four, top five leagues, Serie A is like way behind in terms of
just like crowd management,
just overall recognition and respect, right? So these ultras actually go pretty hard, and not just on the racism side of things, but like general violence and you know, like they'll be like, this club's ultras, few members got caught in like some ticket racketeering.
I've read about that.
There's a lot of like shady stuff that goes on there. So
okay.
It's like this overhaul that needs to get done, starting top down. But I don't know. It's just like clubs have too much power, and there's a lot going on there. So I mean, it needs to change. It's 2019,
yeah,
for God's sake. So an Italian player being subject to racism in his own country.
Yeah, it's just...
It's unnatural, yeah. Even though... And their argument is that that person is not a natural Italian, right? But it's 2019, dude. Yeah. And they live in Europe.
So exactly.
It has a lot of, like, just movement of population here and there. So I hope it gets lower. I haven't seen any improvement from the past 2 years, which is sad. But let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
Coming back to the team, so Inter AC let go of their managers.
Lots of changes, yeah.
Gennaro Gattuso is gone. Could only manage a fifth place finish. Conte's in Inter now.
Nice.
Has a good set of incoming players.
Yeah. Will he get Lukaku?
I mean, I guess he should, because the only thing there is that Lukaku's saying, I don't want to force a move.
Yeah.
Right? And so sweet. United's actually demanding a pretty high price for him.
Yeah.
So that's the only problem there. But in terms of the player movement, it's actually very positive for both teams, I feel, even for United too.
Right.
So let's see what happens there. Yeah. He's got Godin. He's got a good set of new players.
Yeah.
He's trying to get Dzeko from Roma in as well.
Nice.
Dzeko's actually a pretty good striker for the Serie A.
Right. So, but he's also pretty old now.
He's super old, but he's still performing top level for Roma, man. Yeah. He's killing it, yeah. So, you know, like Sarri new to Juve, Conte new to Inter, Ancelotti's second year with Napoli.
Right.
Hopefully it's exciting.
Yeah, even at AC Milan, we have a new manager.
Yes, Sampaoli?
Giaoli?
Okay, so the Sampdoria manager. Right?
Yeah, Sampdoria
manager. So, that...
Giampaolo.
So, I don't count that as too much. No. Just like, I feel like it's going to be between these three.
Oh, okay.
So let's see what happens, man. I'm a little worried about Sarri adapting to Juve.
Yeah, you should be.
Seems like a little erratic human being.
I mean, considering, we'll talk about transfers in another episode, but Juventus and the kind of players that you have now and the kind of like egos that you have to manage, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, especially with Rabiot coming into it.
Oh, Rabiot's my favorite.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. Maybe next episode we'll do a transfer special, couple of updates from our previous episode as well.
Yeah.
So real quick before we wrap up this feature, I just want to talk about Ajax real quick, man.
Nice.
They had pretty nice last season.
They did. I mean, we've always known and heard about Ajax, and supposedly they were killing it, you know, in their local domestic league, and then they didn't make it to the group stage, and then eventually like disappear and no one cared about them. And then come last season, half of their team was less than 24 years old. Their captain's 19 years old. They kill Madrid. They kill Juve. They should have killed Spuds. That was another miracle UCL night.
Like that's where the inexperience sort of came in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they literally did kill them except for the last 90 seconds. I mean, the entire second half was ramping up. Yeah, but then if they would have held on for 90 more seconds, it would have been crazy. It would have been a crazy season, because just to reach the final would have been great.
Exactly.
Right? Like young crop, like tremendous football.
Yes.
And my favorite part about Ajax's football last season was that they didn't have one set style.
Yep.
They would adapt to the team they were playing and play a football accordingly.
Yep.
Like their games against Real were completely different from their games against Juve, for example.
Yeah.
So that was very impressive to see a young coach doing that with a young squad and to be able to adapt them, keep them well in line, disciplined, barring the whole second leg with Spurs. I feel like they kept that together.
Yep.
And they kind of lost it at the end, but still, man, excellent football, and I was pretty happy to see them. Pretty sad to see the squad now. It's kind of getting gutted.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center.
Yeah, but just like you said, I mean, like they had a different game plan for pretty much every game. Even their squad, Van der Sar's their technical director, I believe, and he said that this time we want to try something new. And instead of having just young players and, you know, making a big name for them and then selling them for an insane amount and then investing back in our academy, they're like, this time we're going to get some experience. So they got Dusan Tadic, they got Daily Blind.
Right.
Both of them are close to if not 30s and late 20s. And Dusan Tadic, there was this one setup goal where he did like a 360, reminded me of Zizou, and then passed, and then that's how they killed Madrid. So, I think it was really cool, but they're already making good money with De Jong and now with De Ligt as well.
Hey, that's not done yet, bro.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Don't jinx it.
So they're just gonna, I think, do what they're always doing. And, in fact, they won the league after 4 years. They won the KNVB Cup also. I think only the second time in the last 10 years. The last time they won it 9 years ago.
Right.
So I think they did what they had to do. the bigger names are already on their way out. In fact, Frankie De Jong's deal was already done in Jan. We don't know what's happening to Hakim Ziyech and David Neres.
But they also said they want to leave.
They do, yeah. Right? I mean, David Neres said he wants to go to Arsenal. Like, did he fall on his head or something? I mean, with Arsenal and their war chest of like 40 million, where is he going to fit? But
which they in fact, they bought someone for like 11 million yesterday.
Yeah, not bad. It's a lot of money. So I mean, to see Ajax do their thing, and it's almost like it was really cool to, you know, like have like a David versus Goliath, and yeah, third time unlucky, couldn't get through Spurs. But it's almost like for the neutral, it was almost like falling in love with football yet again. And to do it in the Champions League, not one leg, not two legs over two matches, was really, really cool. And it'll be fun to see, you know, what happens this time. And yeah, we'll keep an eye on them, but I think they've hit their high and we won't see them for a while, I guess.
I'm just curious to see what this next crop of academy graduates look like. I think, just like you said, Van der Sar and Marc Overmars as well, they've done a tremendous job with the management of that club ever since they came into play.
Right.
So, given that these guys are like 18, 19, 21 year olds that we're talking about, apart from the Tadiches,
right.
I tried to pull that off, and the Daily Blinds.
Yeah.
It just seems very promising in terms of the football that they can produce.
Yeah, man.
And I don't see them sort of taking this money and throwing it at players again. Like, correct, that's not the Ajax way overall.
Yeah, they just go back to their academies, man. These kids join them at 8, 9, 10 years old, and the concept of total football, which is done by Johan Cruyff, that's imbibed in them from such a young age. So, and we got to see that in the Champions League with the simple triangle, one-touch passing and stuff.
So, excited to see what these guys do, man. Yeah. So that kind of about wraps up our look back for all of the other leagues from Europe, especially. Why don't we jump to our TFC take, where we'll be talking a little bit about our man Leo Messi.
Sob story.
All right, man. This one's a slightly unstructured take.
Yeah.
Well, from my end, mostly because I just want to vent. And
I still don't get why you feel sad for the guy.
I really like him, man. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't? But just so he was in Copa America, and why I say was is because just this morning, morning in Indian time, basically they ended up losing to Brazil 2-0.
Yeah,
pretty convincingly, I want to say, and not because of lack of trying, but I just feel like the squad around him is deplorable, dude. It's horrible.
Right.
Well, not horrible, but they're like a bunch of young kids, and it's not like they're young kids who are Portugal level or Ajax level or anything like that. They're actually not that experienced.
Unknown, yeah.
Not that talented. Inexperienced, yeah. In Argentina or something like that. Correct, so like at a global stage, they're not the best. And they're obviously top heavy in terms of attack. They have Aguero, they have Di Maria and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Messi as well.
Yeah.
So just got knocked out. Well, there's another Copa happening next year. God knows why. There's a Copa 2020 and there's a Copa 2024.
Right.
So he didn't immediately come out with a statement saying I'm retiring from international football.
I don't think so he should, because I think he owes it to the country to like just continue. Because if he's playing at the top level at Barcelona and if they've got the league in the pocket despite having a bad season, I think he should still try and for some iota of success at national level, because the guy deserves it and I get that. But I just think the way the whole Argentina setup is done and how players like Mauro Icardi didn't make it because of some random like ego issues and oh, we don't like him so he won't play. Dude, the guy is so talented and yeah, I don't know much about him. And
it's, where would he fit? Where would Icardi fit in? Would you replace Aguero for Icardi?
I mean, possibly try a different game plan. He's a younger player and, you know, he has different attributes. And yeah, Aguero is a beast, but Aguero is also getting old. So yeah, and even like players like Di Maria doesn't start. Like even in the game against Brazil, he had to come on as a substitute. So I don't know, like even in their loss at the World Cup last year against France, like that match was insane. But when you have players like Rojo who are first team and who don't know how to freaking play, I don't know why the guys still let Rojo play. So,
but no, that I get that. See, from Messi's end, just forget about everything else surrounding Messi, the enigma of Messi, the legacy of Messi.
Yeah.
From Messi, he'll obviously going to play.
Right.
Whenever he gets a chance to represent club or country, he's going to play.
Right.
But especially with country now and due to the lack of success, there's just so much thrown at him. If it's country, it's Maradona comparisons. If it's club, it's Ronaldo comparisons. Right. And what understood, the guy single-handedly, he's a god. He's the right. best that can be single-handedly yes. with Ronaldo in the same picture.
Yeah.
But you can't win a tournament.
Single-handedly.
Like a knockout tournament single-handedly, right? Like, and he'll get you to the finals. Yeah. He'll get you. He's done enough, man. He's done the World Cup final. He's done Copa twice. This was semi-final, even though their road to the semi-final was the worst showing ever. But that's, I feel like that's a lot to do with the team. But then what what I'm assuming bogs him down is that after losses like these, the amount of shit he has to face from world media, peers as well. Like, there's so many stupid professionals and managers who are coming out with their own take of Louis van Gaal saying he's not a team player.
Yeah.
James Milner is a better player than him.
What?
What utter shit, right? So he's like, oh, James Milner is a better team player than Lionel Messi.
Ouch.
I'd rather have players like James Milner than Lionel Messi.
Ooh.
No wonder you're not a big club, Mr. Van Gaal. Like, you're 1990s, so like grow up.
Yeah.
And then he has to face all of that, right? And I'm assuming he's figured out a way to tackle all of that because he's been tackling all of that all of his life.
Right.
But just the constant barrage of just this not good, good, great, God, not good, great, God, that whole cycle, right? How does he end his season and come back as strong or stronger the next season?
Yeah.
That's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing next season because, fine, Barcelona, we spoke about, like, it's straightforward. Like, he'll come back. He knows he's on a winning side with some good
players around him.
Players around him and additions as well.
Right.
But how does he reconcile with Copa America 2020, for example?
I don't know. I think maybe he should. He owes it to himself and to everyone else to give it another shot. But yeah, I get it that he's human at the end of the day and there's only so much he can take. And I don't know. It's just, you know, we always talk about Ronaldo and what he's done. And we've seen Ronaldo do stuff single-handedly, like even in the UEFA Nations League quarterfinal. It wasn't Portugal 3, Switzerland 0. It was Ronaldo 3, Switzerland 0. But yes, it was João Felix who didn't have a good game. And you have Bernardo Silva. And you have a lot of other good players around him as well. But I don't know. I still think, you know, just how much, like, Messi in his prime and how he's evolved his game. And, like, it's a whole new challenge for him to not be surrounded by superstars in the National League and in the national team and still churn out something. Yeah, maybe he's done as much as he can, but I still think he's got a little bit left in his tank. And it'll be fun to see how the new season with club turns out. And then maybe he'll be back for Copa 2020.
I feel so too. Like you rightly said, like with Ronaldo, fine. With Switzerland, it was his 3 goals. But he has a good team around him, especially this Nations League. He had a great team around him, right? Like the Euro success had a good team around him.
Yeah.
And then that team actually built up well. These young players are actually very, very good.
Insane, yeah.
So the defensive team has to be mindful of them as well.
Yeah, he's also recruiting for Juve, apparently. Like, he spoke to Dilett, right?
Yep. And then anti-recruiting for Madrid, which is even more funny because he's like, yeah, Madrid, man. Feeling out of it, right? So that coupled with... So you could make the same argument for the first game in the World Cup, where it was Ronaldo 3 and Spain 0.
Right.
So, but then it's a good team. Here, with Messi, especially this Copa, apart from the front three, which was him, Aguero, and Di Maria, maybe, it wasn't the best team behind him to link up with and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But on the contrary, the argument could be made that the 2014 finalist team, Argentina, was actually a good team all around.
Yeah, I still think they didn't deserve to win to reach the final, but whatever.
I mean, they did. It's a cup tourney, so like stuff happens.
Right.
So that's fine. But that team was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
If you look at the individual players on that team, it was a pretty good team.
Yeah,
so
then
I guess we can just keep talking about this. But in conclusion, I just want to ask you a question. Like, considering success at club level, is his international disappointment coming in the way of his GOAT legacy, or is that still intact, you think?
I still think that has a lot to play in the fact that, at least on paper, because a lot of us don't remember, you know, what Maradona was as a player and, you know, what he did. We just see his hand of God goals and we know a little bit about him at club level and stuff. But at the same time, he won a lot of stuff and he made it to finals and controversy or not, he, you know, laid out the goods and it showed. I think unless Messi doesn't get a trophy for the national team, I think that's going to play a big part in him saying that, oh, I'm the best of all time. And, you know, I finally won it. And it actually pretty much showed even in 2014, when they lost the final, he won player of the tournament. And it's, he's holding the trophy and he was disappointed. He was looking down and he's like, this sucks. Like, what the hell am I doing here? So yeah, I get why you feel for him, but I think until unless he doesn't do anything at national level, Ronaldo's always going to trump him.
Okay, Ronaldo, that's fine. That's a different argument there. But yeah, overall, his own personal legacy, I don't think that can, that can't be touched, okay? You were talking about Maradona, for example. We need to think about what football was in the 1980s. Right. It was World Cup to World Cup.
Correct.
It was Euro to Euro. Yes. Club football wasn't at the level it is right now. So it's not like Maradona, fine, he's a Napoli legend.
Yep.
It's not like he destroyed at Napoli worldwide dominance the way Messi did with Barcelona.
Yeah.
So as a footballer, his legacy has to be intact, regardless of what the international thing pans out to be.
Right.
Because as a footballer, he's just achieved so much, right? And it's literally him and Ronaldo that I see that come close in terms of year after year, killing it at the top most level of competition. So. Right. I actually don't think his legacy, well, this might be very biased and I'm sure every Messi fan will agree with me. Every Ronaldo fan is not going to agree with me.
Yeah.
But regardless of what he does at the international level, right? Yeah. I feel like he's done enough in terms of just backpacking his team to three finals, which is a tremendous achievement in itself.
Yeah.
And, let's see what Copa 2020 does. If his team remains the same, if it doesn't improve, I don't expect much, honestly. Because Brazil is actually good. This is Brazil without Neymar, by the way.
Yeah.
And Chile is always this wild card in Copa America for some reason.
Yeah, Sanchez been scoring left, right, and center.
Sanchez, Alexis Sanchez, earning his 400K a week. Except not to the team who's paying him. But yeah, I mean, just concluding that, I don't think his international legacy or his footballing legacy should be tarnished. I think he's done enough to warrant that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, I really hope this guy wins an international tournament, man.
Yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from. And yeah, even I don't want to, you know, touch the purity of what he's done and how he's evolved at Barca and, you know, the things he's done. And technically, he has had his hand of God and his half-line goals with Barca, though not with Argentina. But at the same time, like, just again, coming back to the comparison, like, Ronaldo has done that consistently at every different club in different freaking leagues. So that's like a whole different challenge. So I don't know, I mean, is it fair to compare it that way? I don't think so. But at the same time, it's just a different use case. It's just a different case altogether. So I just think that, I don't know, I think he's almost found that comfort with, you know, Barca. And I think that compensates for the lack of competitivity at national level. And I think he's finding it hard to find peace with that. And I think that's why he's just always going to have this battle of, you know, club versus country. And yeah, it'll be fun to see if he turns out 2020.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to next season overall. Good additions to his team. Good sort of, well, not good, bad loss overall, to end his season and end his summer. So he's always come back stronger. Well, except for that one Copa America loss where he was just so distraught. He's like, "Main hi hilna." But let's see what that comes to. So that wraps up our TFC stake. We'll catch you guys next week, where we're going to be doing part two of our transfer roundup. Lots of updates after we released part one last week. Lots of exciting news to talk about. And man, I can't wait for the season to get started, dude.
Yeah, man. It's only July and we still have a month and a half to go.
Let's go. We'll make it through. All right, man. So catch you guys next week. Again, you guys can catch us wherever you get your podcasts or at Muncha Sports on all social media. Catch you guys next week.
See you.